Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, and that's there along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private, parent choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is December 8th, 2015, and we're going to talk about emergency planning. My guest is Shelley Skaggs. Good afternoon, Shelley. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Lon. Thanks so much for the call and for having me on your show.
Well, it's going to be very, very interesting because Shelley is the Marketing and Admissions Director for Benchmark Transitions in Redlands, California. And we're going to talk about their Benchmark Emergency Plan in Action because those that have been following the news, there was this terrorist activity, and part of it occurred in Redlands, and it was enough to where they had to implement their emergency plans in order to try to keep the staff and the students all safe. So we're calling it Benchmark Emergency Plan in Action, and could you give me a brief overview? What sort of plans did you have in case of an emergency came up?
So we have an emergency plan that we put into place in March of 2015. It was developed by an emergency management specialist who happens to be a retired Redlands police officer in conjunction with one of our executive team members who's also a retired San Bernardino police officer. So they wanted to ensure that we had an emergency planning situation. Typically, they're going to be something about, you know, what happens if we have a client that's having a suicidal issue or something like that. But we also did put into place things like if there was an active shooter or if there was an oil spill on the freeway close by. So we implemented the emergency management plan back in March. We trained with the staff for it. We've worked really closely with our team to prepare for whatever situations that come up.
Okay, well, as I understand it, as the thing was coming down, you guys were involved. I presume you were listening to police scanners. And as what you said, all the activity started to be heading your direction. It wasn't started in San Bernardino, but it was coming to Redlands. And so what happened? When did you realize, hey, we'd better put this in place because we might get too close to the action?
We got notification of it fairly early on, I think because one of our executive team members is a retired San Bernardino police officer, another's married to a retired Redlands police officer. We were able to get the notifications pretty quickly. And so when we realized that was happening, we immediately were on the phones and emails with our program folks. We let them know that there was an active shooter in the community and that we needed to go on partial lockdown. So the Benchmark Outpatient Center is actually a locked building anyway. All of the clients and the staff have key cards where we can come and go with our keys. But we basically were instructing staff to check on all of their clients, make sure that they knew where they were, basically cease any off-property activity, keep everybody pretty close. If anybody needed to leave off-property, they would be allowed to do so, but limit that activity off-property. Try to limit any movement away from the locked facility because we didn't really know which direction it was coming. As we found out that it was coming closer into Redlands, and once the news was coming through to us that it was more centralized, that they were looking at a house in Redlands, we knew that we needed to keep everybody on really close ties. So we eliminated any off-property AA or NA meetings. We, wouldn't let anybody go to school or classes. So we really kept everyone pretty close. And then if they needed to go anywhere, some of our clients have off-property trust privileges where they hop on a bus or their skateboard or their bike, and some of them even have cars or their own transportation. We limited that to where Benchmark staff would be transporting them and really knowing where all the clients were at any given time throughout the course of the afternoon as the shooting unfolded, really until the next day once we had been assured that the news media as well as the police were saying, okay, that they felt like they had had the situation contained.
How did everybody react to the situation when they begin to realize, well, it's getting closer and we might be way too close to it? How did they react?
The clients were not too nervous at the beginning. We kept it pretty calm. We didn't want to worry them too much or cause any, you know, undue stress with them. So we really tried to keep it fairly well contained between the staff and, you know, just kind of assure them that we're there. We really kept a moving forward, you know, just kind of business as usual. However, the staff really realized that it was hitting close to home. One of our staff members had a wife who was in a building that was in the line of fire. So he was pretty nervous about it. We let him, once it was safe to do so, leave to go pick her up and leave for the day. We did have to adjust an admissions meeting a little bit. We put it on hold so that they didn't come in right during that. We wanted to wait until the things had kind of settled a little bit. So really everybody handled it very professionally. I think the fact that we were trained and we were expecting what to do and how to do it and how to check on all the clients, everybody was pretty well very considerate about the process and really maintained a sense of professionalism and to ensure client and staff safety.
When did you get the all clear that it seemed to be things were over, and then what was the situation? You kept it in the lockdown for a while after that, just to be sure?
We kept it in partial lockdown all the way till the evening and throughout the night until the next morning, and really a lot of that was through communications as our retired police officers were getting communications from the various law enforcement agencies. And we also followed a lot of the protocols from the local schools and businesses as well. So we kept it on partial lockdown, no unnecessary off-property visitations, no going to classes or off-property AA or any meetings and fitness, those kinds of things, really until the next day.
Okay, so by the next day, you got the all clear, and then it was business back to normal. And it sounds like everybody pretty much took it in stride. I imagine you can't emphasize how important it was to have these protocols in place. You were trained in them. You knew exactly what to do. That gives you a lot of reassurance in something like that, I would imagine.
I do. I really think that had we not had that emergency protocol in place, that we might have been much more frazzled. I think the fact that we'd done the training, that we had an actual protocol in place, that we'd followed it up with subsequent trainings, that we'd work with them, that we'd had a couple of, you know, drills, so to speak, everybody felt pretty confident about the process moving forward, and it helped ensure just that sense of, okay, we know what we're doing, we've got this, we feel pretty comfortable with being able to at least put a safe and secure environment in place and be approach it from a really professional vantage point.
I would think this would be a major lesson for all schools, the vital importance to have an emergency plan in a place for when anything comes up. And I imagine fires, you know, forest fire or house fires, or as you say, shootings like this one, or any number of things. It's very vital to have that. That seems to be a real object lesson to that.
It really was, and I think the other lesson that we pulled out of it, too, was to, you know, just even though the initial shooting was close to 6 to 7 miles away, it quickly progressed into Redlands.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt that we really needed to, next time realize that there's a potential that it could come a lot closer to home. We're glad that we took the safety measures that we did in the modified lockdown, and it reminded us that it could come 6 miles very quickly back into your area. So even though it's across town, even though those things are happening further away, to really realize that how quickly it could come back into your area.
Well, absolutely. Well, tell the listeners a little bit about Benchmark Transitions. What kind of students do they have, or residents or clients, and what you do for them? Tell you a little bit about Benchmark.
Well, Benchmark's been around for 22 years. As you know, we're one of the longest-running young adult residential therapeutic programs in the milieu. Pretty excited to announce that we are a residential licensed facility. So after 21 years of being around, we actually got that State of California Residential Treatment Center license. So we do have a full continuum of care specifically for young adult men and women 18 to 28 years of age who are dealing with substance abuse as well as behavioral health issues. We are a dual diagnosis facility. We've a dual track program as well, and we're licensed for detoxification services as well as residential levels of care, and we ramp down all the way through PHP, day treatment, IOP, intensive outpatient, and extended care levels. So we really can be a full continuum of care, specifically for young adults in crisis, and then helping them to transition out into the world with school, life skills, independent living, all the things that Benchmark's been known of forever, as well as that more intensive initial detox stabilization residential level of care.
Okay. If somebody has any questions, wants to find out more about Benchmark itself, or wants to talk to you, or want to talk a little bit about your experience with this lockdown, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, we'd be happy to share any of our history, what we put together, how we developed the emergency plan, and happy to talk about our program. We can be found on the website at www.benchmarktransitions.com, benchmarktransitions.com, and our toll-free number for admissions is 1-800-474-4848, extension 1 for admissions.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you very much, Shelley. It's great to have you here. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and we've been talking about Benchmark Emergency Plan in action, what they did and how they handled it and how the emergency plan helped them during the recent shooting that was came pretty close to them into Redlands. Thank you very much, Shelley. This has been very fascinating.
Thanks, Lon, for having me.